Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 17 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Zayin. You can estimate about a third of the way down from the top. You will notice a Roman numeral number 1 to the side of the Gemara text, and also take note of the arrow that you see indicating Ayin Vav Omid Beis. That means that we will now be analyzing additional points in the long Tanaic source that we studied in our previous shiur. By all means, as is often the case, if you're a first-time listener, you would want to be familiar with the topic we discussed in our previous shiur, Daf Ayin Vav. We will open with a quote from that source that you can see back on Ayin Vav Amud Beis on the fourth wide line. The topic heading that we have reads, first we feature we call this a Nosei / Mivneh, Nosei being the topic heading, Mivneh the structural note, where we highlight Roman numerals 1 and 2. Hesber hacheshbonis shel rabbanav Rabbi Tosi bebraisa d'Eliel. Ayin Vav Amud Beis will be explaining the calculations by way of how much to pay the workers that backed out. B'mikrim shel chazor b'emtza avoda, in cases where the workers backed out in the middle of the job. We saw a disagreement between the Tanakama and Rabbi Dosa on that matter. So that Roman numeral number 1 features the Tanakama's approach. If you skim down our Omid here on Ayin Zayin Omid Aleph, you'll see Rabbi Dosa featured with Roman numeral number 2. The text, or I should say the source that we saw on Ayin Vav Omid Beis, described a job that would cost the owner 2 sloyim to perform. Hire workers and pay them 2 sloyim. They did half the job and then backed out. We mentioned different forms of currency in our previous year, so just to refresh your memory, 1 selah is also the equivalent of 4 dinar. There's another coin that we saw in our previous shiur, a shekel, which is 2 dinar. The Gemara, Omar Mar. This is a quote from Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Shomin lohem esma she'asu. We evaluate how much the workers did before they backed out. Ketzad. And how do we continue our calculation? Haya yofe shisha dinrim. If in order to finish off the job, the owner would have to pay for the second half of the job 6 dinar, noisein lohem sela. The owner pays the workers that did the first half of the job 1 sela. This, of course, was a case where the whole job was to cost 2 sela. They backed out halfway through. They get paid, we'll say, what is due to them. We do not factor in the fact that the owner is now going to have to pay more to get the job done. Because Savri Rabona, the Gemara goes on to point out, Yad Poyol Al Ha'Elyona, the worker has the upper hand. So that as far as the worker is concerned, he gets paid for what he did. We do not take into consideration the fact that the Balabayas, the owner, is now going to be losing out, and he's going to have to pay more than a seller to get the job done, because Yad Poel Al Elyonah, the worker has the upper hand. Oh, Yigmur Malachton V'yitlu Shnei Soleim Pshita. The source said, if or they can have, they have the option of finishing off the job and getting the originally agreed upon two sela. Well, that's obvious that they would get two sela. Pshita. Why do I need a Tanaic source to teach me that which is obvious? So the Gemara here, and likewise in the upcoming sections of the Gemara, will be adding circumstances to the original source that one could not have known by reading the source as it is. Lo tzricha, the Gemara is saying, no, it is necessary to teach me that if they finish off the job, they're going to be able to get two sela. Why? What are the circumstances that necessitate this to be taught? The Iker Avidita V'imru Poyalim, the value of work, or the wages paid to workers, Iker, means became more expensive to hire workers. And these workers, Imru is an unusual word, but it means they backed out. They backed out halfway through the job, and you can assume they figured, why continue the job to get one more sela when our work is worth more? We can find work somewhere else. And the owner who stands to lose by their backing out halfway through, he went in paisinu. He appeased them. He convinced them to continue till the end. And they did. Mahu detema, you might have thought, since the Tanakama holds, since this first opinion holds, Yad Poyal Al Yoina, Motsu Amri Lei, that they would be able to tell the owner, Ki Mai Faisinon, when you appeased us, when you convinced us to continue till the end, Adaita the Tofas Lon Agra, that was with the intent that you would add to the wages, add to the originally pre-established wages. After all, worker costs went up in the area. Komash Malon, the source, by telling me, which you thought was obvious, comes to tell me the following. The Yomar Lahu, the owner says, Adaito de Tarachno Lahu Bachila Ushtia. I convinced you to continue working with the intent that I would put myself out, I would trouble myself to provide you with food and drink. But nothing to do with adding to the wages. Sela, noisin sela. We said in the source that if they did half the job that originally would cost two sela, and the owner would find workers to finish off the job by paying one more sela, where the owner ends up paying what he originally had agreed to pay the original workers. At the end of the day, the job will cost the owner no more. So he gives the first workers a sela, pshita. Well, is that not obvious that they get a sela for the half that they did? Lo tzricha, dezol avidita meikora ve'agrinu b'tfei zuza. The circumstances are that when they started the job, worker wages in general in that area were cheaper, and he could have hired other workers for a sela minus a dinner. For whatever reason, he wanted these guys. V'agrinu b'tfei zuzo means, and he hired these workers, and he realized he wouldn't be able to rope them in to get them to work for him for a sela minus a dinar, which is three quarters of a sela. So what did he do? He agreed at the outset to pay them a sela. And when we speak about a sela, we're talking about that's the value of half the job. Your full job was worth two sela. But he agreed to pay them a zuz, which is a dinar, more than the going rate at that time. Uvasoif Aiker Avidita. The Kum, it's Fezuzah. As time went on, Vasof literally means at the end. It means like half, certainly halfway through, or as time went on, worker wages became more expensive and increased by one zuz, by a dinar. At this point, then, all workers, in order to have started and reached half the job, would have taken a full sela. We said that the source seemed to teach us the obvious. Mahu detema, without our source, I would have thought, since according to the Rabbanon, Yad Poyalal El Yoyna, the Tanakama's opinion is that the worker has the upper hand, I would have thought, Amri Lay, that these workers that are backing out halfway through, that they could say, Tfe Zuza Amris Lon, Tfe Zuza Havlon. You originally hired to pay us a zuz more than everyone else. Now that everyone else is taking what we originally took, and what we originally took was a zuz more than everyone else, give us now a zuz more than everyone else, so that for the work that we've done, we want a zuz and a dinar. Chomash Malon, the Tanaic source on Ayin Vov on the base, tells us, the Omar Lahu, the Balabayas, tells these guys, Ki Amri Lahu Tfei Zuzah Dolohave Kim Lahu, when I offered you a zuz, a dinar, more than everyone else, because you were not going to work for any less than a sela. Hashta kimluchu. But now, true, that work value went up with everyone else, equaling a sela. So what everyone else is willing to pay is what you originally were agreeing to receive, and hence I'm not paying you any more than a sela. And Rashi adds, and I never had intended to bind myself to pay you a dinar more than everyone else. I agreed originally to pay a dinar more than everyone else, when by paying that dinar more I would be paying one sela. But to go beyond that, I have the owner have no intention nor obligation. So that the source that said im sela sela is speaking under circumstances that we just described, and you can see that there's a chiddush that they cannot place a claim into receiving a zuz more than everyone else at this point. Rabbi Doisa Omer, Shomin Lohen Es Ma She'osid Le'osois. Rabbi Doisa says that in order to pay the workers that are backing out now, halfway through, we have to evaluate, assess how much will it cost to get the job done. And if that osid le'osos hoya yofa shisha dinarim would cost them 1.5 sela to get the second half of the 2 sela job done, noisein lohem shekel. He will give these workers that backed out 2 dinar, a shekel. In other words, half a sela. Rabbi Dosa then is dealing in a restrictive fashion with those workers that are backing out. Kosover yana payol ala tachtona, that the strength of the worker, the one who's backing out, he has the lower, he's the one that has to accept the lesser amount, the lesser end of the deal. O yigmaru malachton v'yitlu shnei slayim pshita. Well, is that not obvious? If the original job they were hired for would result in their receiving 2 sela, if they finish the job, they get 2 sela. Lo tzricha, no, it needs to be taught. Dizol avidita. Worker wages went down. Rashi, a few lines below, says, Lo tzricha dizol avidita hashta. Lekach yigmar b'sela, avo b'shas hatnai hoyechetzia roi liyoyser misela. V'hein kishepasku al kulan for the whole job to sloyim dechukim hoyu v'oizilu gabei. They were hard pressed for money and therefore offered to work for less. So we continue in the Gemara. We said that the worker wages became cheaper. The Zolavidita, the Imar Balabayas. The Balabayas now wanted to back out. The half the job was done. I can get the second half for cheaper. The Ozu Pailu Vaisu, and the workers came and convinced the Balabayas to keep them on the job. Mahu Detema, since Rabbi Dosa is of the opinion that Yad Pailu Ala Tachtoina, Motsi Omar Lahu, the Balabayas, the owner, could say, Adaito de Batrisu Li Magraichu. When you convinced me to keep you on the job, it was with the intention of my being able to pay you less. Komash Malon, what the Tanaic source reveals to us is the Amri Lay, the workers can respond to the Balabayas, Daito de Avidnon Loch Avidito Shapirta. It was with the intent of our doing for you an extra special high quality job, but not with any intention that you would be able to pay us less than was originally agreed upon. Now, we said if the owner would find workers to finish off the second half of the job at a sela, so that's the reference in the source, sela, no same lohem sela, then since he can finish off the job at one sela, finish off the second half, he will pay them, the workers, one sela for the first half of the job that they did. This job that was originally agreed upon to pay two sela for it. So the last pshita, is it not obvious that if the owner can finish off the job with one more sela, so he would pay the first workers that did the first half one sela? Omer Avuna Breir of Nosson Lo Tzricha, it's necessary to teach this case. The Elzilu Inhu Dabe Zuzo Meikora Ulubasov Zola Vidita. You're dealing with workers that originally gave the owner a discount, namely for the job that they did. Let's say for the first half of the job that they did, people would ordinarily take a sela plus a zuz. Let's say we'll call that 1.25 sela. These workers told the balabas, "We'll do it for you, the whole job. 2 sela. The first half would cost you 1 sela." As time went on, worker wages in general went down. Mahu de Tema, since Rabbi Dosa is of the opinion Yad Poyola Tachtona, I might have thought that the owner could say to the workers, now that their wages went down, Botsir Zuzo Amrisuli, Botsir Zuzo Yavin Aluchu. When I hired you originally, you gave me a discount of Azuz. Botsir means less than, a sela less Azuz. And now, by everyone, that's the going rate. And with that in mind, the owner can say, now that's the going rate by everybody, I will continue now paying you less than everyone else, as our relationship was at the outset. Komash Malon, the source informs me, the Amri Lay, the workers say, Ki Amarna Lucha Bebotzir Zuza, when we originally gave you the discount of Azuz, the Lohave Kim Loch. That was a point that you weren't willing to pay any less. Hashta Kim Loch. Now you've shown that you were willing to pay the sela, you must pay it now as well. Let's go over this last scenario with the Rashi. Lo tzricha, Dezol Avidito Hashto. Once again, we're dealing with Rebbe Dosa's opinion that Yad Poel Al Tachtono, and we have workers that originally offered their services at a cheaper rate than everyone else. That translates into half of the job that they did that is calculated at a selah. That selah really represents a discounted rate, where everyone else, in order to have done that half of the job, would have charged a selah and a dinar, 1 1/4 selah. The Rashi tells us, lo tzrichot, that which you thought was obvious in the Tanaic source, that if that which remains to do is a selah, then the first workers get paid a selah, is speaking under circumstances that worker wages in general fell. Lekach yigmor besela. The Maram Shif explains that because worker wages in general fell, he can now find workers to finish off the job at one selah, and therefore he'll pay the first workers one selah for the half that they did. Of course, just to remind you, we're talking again about a job that originally they were hired to perform for two selah. They did half, they get paid one selah. Avol b'shas hatnai hayachetzer roi liyoser miselah. At the time they were originally hired, half the job would have been worth more or cost more than one selah. We said 1 1/4 selah. V'hein kishepasku al kula shnei sloyim. These workers that agreed to do the entire job for two selah, that is a rate less than everyone else would have taken. Everyone else would have taken two selah plus two dinar, 2 1/2 selah. These guys, though, dechukin hayu v'oizilu gabe, they were hard pressed for money, and therefore they were willing to give a discount and charge him just two selah for the whole job, or one selah for half the job. Mahu detema, without this Tanaic source, I would have thought, hayo le Rabbi Daisa, yad pula tachtoino, since the worker has got the lower hand. Nemo lehu, maybe the owner could have told them, botzir zuza amrisu li, botzir zuza shkolu. Originally, your work was at a discount of one dinar, one zuz. Now that you've done half the job, and at this point in time, worker wages have fallen, take now one zuz less. Vareya kolis and chetzya besela. Everyone would do half the job now for one sela. Tlu atem b'masha sitem sela choser zuz. Take for what you have already done a sela minus a zuz. Namely, 3/4 of a sela, which is in accordance with your original offer of a discount of one zuz. So if right now worker wages are one selah, and you were willing to work at a discount of one zuz, so take a selah minus a zuz. Kamash Malan Rashi goes on, the Amri Lay, these workers, even though Rabbi Dosa says, Yad Poel Al Tachtono, they can insist on getting a full selah. They can say, Ki Amrinon Loch Adaito, the Lokim Loch Lasois Beselah, which means the workers can tell him, you know, when we offered to do you the job at that discounted rate, you did not think that half the job could be done at a selah. At the same time, we also noticed that you weren't willing to add to that any more. Nisrutsinu anu the sella. Therefore, we agreed to do the job for a sella. Do pachos michteis charpula, which is less than the going rate at the time. As we mentioned earlier, at that time everyone else was charging a sella and a dinar for that same amount of job to be done. So now, however, that worker wages have gone down, we're not going to be willing to take less than a sella, though. Let's now turn back to the Gemara. We have what we've noted with our markings, a long question. But first, we read Omar Rav, Halacha Kerebi Dosa. And now we start a long question. Umi Omar Rav Hochi. Would Rav have ruled like Rebbe Doisa? Before we go any further in the Gemara, though, let's take advantage of our topic heading, the Nosei, which reads, Liashef Stira B'Psak Shel Rav. We're going to try to resolve what appears to be a contradiction in Rav's ruling. Rav number one, Halacha K'Rebbe Doisa. That's what we read already in the Gemara. What is that ruling imply? The mashma yad hapoyel ala taftona, to rule like Rebbe Doisa, you're saying that the worker has the is in the position of disadvantage. There's the concept of upper hand and the opposite. So the workers do not have the upper hand. That's what Rav number one would appear to be. Rav number two. A worker can back out even at half at noontime, after even after only half a day has gone by. That would seem to indicate that the worker has the upper hand. The fact that he has the license, the right to back out in mid-course, that would not appear to be in conformity to Rav number one. Now, the Gemara. Umi Omar Rav Hochi, would Rav really have ruled like Rebbe Doisa, which we're translating to mean Yad Poyel Ala Tachtoina? For Omar Rav, Poyel Yochol Lachzer Boy Afila Bechatzi Ayom, a Poyel can back out even in midday. For Chitem O Shiny Later Rebbe Doisa, Bein Schiris Legablonis, you might say that there's no contradiction here. Because Rebbe Doisa himself makes a distinction between schirus, a person that's hired by the day, lekablonus, a person who's hired by the job. So that you might think that there's room for making a distinction. That in one case, we would say, ya poyo la tachtona. In the other case, we would say, yochol lavser afilu be'emtzayom. Rashi, second line from the bottom, says shiny lay vein screws the kablonus. You might say that Rav would make such a Rebbe Doisa would make a distinction like this, and we make reference to Rebbe Doisa. Bear in mind, Rav is presented here as being based on Rebbe Doisa, so maybe Rebbe Doisa himself makes such a distinction. The gabi screws isola high timeo. When it comes to schirus as opposed to kablonus, two different forms of work arrangement. Schirus is a person paid per day or per hour. In a case like that, there is a svora. There's a reason to say he backs out, he can back out. Because the pasuk says, avodai heim. The Almighty God declares that the Jewish people are his slaves. We're bound to him. V'lo avodim l'avodim, and not slaves of other slaves, meaning we're not bound to other people. And that would manifest itself by the right to back out in the middle of the day. So that is a svora that applies to schirus. Avol bekablonis. But when the work arrangement is you are paid or hired to do a job, Ein ze eved el atzmo. You're working for yourself. You're working to get a job done. It's a contractual agreement, and you're not bound by hours, by days to anybody. You're just to get the job done. So you're not considered a slave to someone else. And therefore, the need to empower the worker in such a case is unnecessary. Verbidosa, Bekablonus, Mairi, Rabidosa, who spoke of the Yad, Poyolala Tachtoino, is in the case of Kablonus Kidiktoni, as the source itself indicates. The back on Ayin Vav Amud Beis, in the third wide line, it said Kiblu Komaliksar. Kiblu, like Lashon of Kablonus, he received a job to do, to harvest a field. And it was in that context that Rabbi Dosa indicated Yad Poyalala Tachtoina Udorav. That which Rav says that a worker can back out at midday, that's Bishriyom, that's with a different type of work arrangement. Namely, he's hired and paid by the hour or by the day. So we're suggesting maybe that Rabbi Dosa himself makes such a distinction. Umishonile. The Gemara continues three lines from the bottom and says, but does he really make such a distinction? V'hatanya. We have a Tanaic source that you'll see it continues to the top line of Omid Beis. Hasechez apayol l'chatzi hayoim shoma shemes lomei so she'avzosei chamo. A worker was hired, and at midday, the worker heard that a close relative of his passed away, or he was overcome by fever. Both of these cases preventing him from being able to continue in the job. These are called ones, circumstances beyond his control. Im sochir hu, if the work arrangement was one of schirus, paid by the hour, noisein lo schoro. So we're continuing at the top of Amud Beis, noisein lo schoro, the owner pays his wage. And he gets half, if he did half the job, he gets paid for the entire half that he has done. Im kablon hu, noisein lo kablon uso. And if he's a kablon, so, and he's hired to do a job, and he did half the job, so he'll get paid accordingly. Do note, by all means, the dash underlining the word sochir and kablon. They're presented here on equal footing. And here we have a source that has no name in it, so the Gemara goes on with two stages in trying to figure out who the author of this is. Moni, who is the author? Ilema Rabbanon, if you were to think it's the Rabbanon who said Yad Poel Alhu El Yoina, they're of the opinion that we saw in our previous year that the worker has the upper hand in cases of back out, etc. So my Irya, why does the source speak about Shoma Shemes Lo Mei So Shal Sechama De Onis? Why feature cases where the worker stoppage of work is a function of something beyond his control? Even with normal circumstances, namely his own decision to pull out in half the day, he could do so, and he will get full pay up till that point, because the Rabbanon hold Yad Poyel al hel yoina. Elo lav Rabbi Dosa hi. This source must have been authored by Rabbi Dosa, and only because of an ones could he back out. Ushma mino lo shoni le Rabbi Dosa bein schirus lekablonus. And you can see then from here that it's a source authored by Rabbi Dosa, putting kablonus and schirus on the same level, and in all cases. We would say Yad Poyel Al HaTachtona, including Schirus, and that's not like Rav number one. According to Rav number one, Halacha Kribitosa means that the worker. Let me correct myself. This is unlike Rav number two. According to Rav number two, worker could back out at half the day. According to this, only because of onus circumstances can he cease work at midday, but under normal circumstances, he cannot. So, do we not then have a contradiction in the two rulings of Rav? Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Bedover ha'avud v'divrei ha'kol. In general, Rabbi Dosa makes a distinction between a sochir and a kavlon. And with that in mind, we understand Rav number one was dealing with the kavlon, and Rav number two was dealing with the sochir. In this, as far as this source that we just read is concerned, where the sochir and the kavlon are put on the same footing, and the inference was that he cannot back out in midday, that's because you're dealing with a dover ha'avud, and everyone would agree with that. That if it's a type of activity that the owner would suffer a loss by its by stopping in the middle, then there's no difference, and according to everybody, not only Rabbi Dosa but the Rabbonin as well, you cannot back out in midday, except for under ones circumstances. We continue in the Gemara. Tanan, kol hameshane yodoy ala tachtoina. We have a Mishnah, and we saw this, namely our Mishnah, that made two points. Bishlamo kol hameshana yodo la tachtoina. The first point, namely that anyone who changes, you're hired to do a job, and you did not cooperate, or you didn't follow the instructions that the customer gave, so you get the lower end of the deal. That is what we saw in our Mishnah. No name. This is an example of a Stam Mishnah, an unnamed Mishnah, that follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. There's a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in Bava Kamma regarding this case where someone is Mishane. Does he have to absorb, we'll say, get the lower end of the deal, or Rabbi Meir, who says that the worker pays the owner for the raw materials and he keeps the improved product. But we have here a Stam Mishnah, the Aleph Din, kol hameshana yodo al tachtona, reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We're not going to get into the details. You can look back into Bava Kamma on that topic. Ella, what we want to know is kol hachozer bo yodo al tachtona l'asiyemai. The Mishnah went on to say something that seemed to be redundant, that he who backs out has the lower hand. Yodo al tachtona. What does that come to include? Lav l'asiyei poyo ukerebi doisa. Is it not coming to include even the case of the poyel? And the Mishnah is ruling like Rabbi Dosa, who makes no distinction between a sochir and a kablon, and in all cases yodo ala tachtoina. And when we say la suye poyel, recognize we're coming to even the case of a schir yom yodo al tachtona, that he cannot back out, and Rabbi Dosa making no distinction. All cases schir yom kablonus yodo al tachtona. Is this then not a kasha on Rav number two? Because Rav number two said poyel yochol asur ba'afilu b'chatzi hayom, that he can back out even in midday. Elo Rabbi Dosa Tarti Komar. In fact, Rabbi Dosa spoke of both the Schir Yom and the Kablon, that Yodom Ala Tachtona. The Rav Sovar Lo Kavose Bechada Upolig Ole Bechada. And Rav rules like Rebbe Dosa with regard to one. That's the case of the Kablon, the one who's hired to do and paid for the job. Upolig Ole Bechada. And in the case of the Schir Yom, where the fellow is paid by the day, there he disagrees. And we mentioned the Svora before, that Avodai Haim, they're bound only to the Almighty God and not to others. And that is the case when you're dealing with the Schir, when he would otherwise be appear to be bound to others. In the case of Kablon, we said you're really working for yourself. You took upon yourself the job. You're not binding yourself to someone else in terms of time enslavement, if you will. Number two. If this is number two, what was number one? We were dealing with the expression and we brought that in to serve as a question on the answer that we had given before. Namely, that we had given as an answer before to resolve the two rulings of Rav, that there's a distinction between a Schir Yom and a Kablon. And here in the Bay's section of the Mishnah, Kala Chayzer B'Yod Al Tachtona, was brought is a question on that. Iboy Asema, this second approach, is taking that phrase that namely, that we thought was introducing a question that presented a question on the answer to resolve Rav's. And here we're saying, no, there's no question to begin with, because this case of this statement of is needed for something else. It's not coming to include a worker and his right. Inability to back out, but as we said, something else. You'll see, we're dealing with laws that have to do with purchase of property, and it says in the source, anyone who backs out, we say, Yodo ala tachtona. Ketzad, what's an example of that? Hare shemochar soda lechaver belevzus, venosan lo mois mehen mosaimzus. Person sells a field to a purchaser for 1,000 zuz. Purchaser gives 200, a fifth of the total amount, he gives to the seller. Bizman shamoicher choizerbo, if the seller decides to back out, yad lo keach el yona, the purchaser has the upper hand. He's not the choizerbo, the mocher is the choizerbo. And the Mishnah said the Choserbo is Yodo Al Tachtonon, so therefore the other party that's not backing out, Yodo Al Elyono. In this case, if the seller backs out, buyer has upper hand. What does that mean? Rotza Oimer Lo Teilim Osai. The buyer can say, give me back my money, I paid 200 of the thousands, says, give me back the 200. Says, oi, tain li karka kenegin mosai, or give me a parcel of land that's worth the amount that I paid, worth the 200 zuz. Mehechan magbio. If that is the route that's taken, that the seller will provide 200 zuz worth of land, from which quality of land does he provide? Min ha'idis, from top quality land. This will be dealt with later. Ubizman shilokeh chozerbo, yad mochal yono. And if the purchaser wants to back out, so the seller will have the upper hand. Rotza oimelo hey loch mosecha. The seller can say, take back your money. Rotza oimer, or the seller can say, hey loch karkatim mosecha. Take a small piece of land that corresponds to the amount you paid, the small amount that you advanced to me. Ve'echon magvio, the seller, from what type of land does he pay the buyer? Min haziburis, from poor quality land. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Melamdin Oison Shelo Yachzeru. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says we train them, we teach them, we direct them into a relationship whereby there will be no backing out, where they won't be able to back out. Rashi, you'll notice called the upper third of the Rashi commentary. Melamdin Oison L'chol Halokeach Vein Lomois Kulan Elamitzoson. In all cases of a purchaser that doesn't have all the money, just part, Lasus Mem Tchila Dover Kium Shelo Yuchlu Lachzor. Rab Shimon Ben Gamliel then has a suggestion of how to create a financial relationship or arrangement where even though the purchaser doesn't have enough money at the time initially, nevertheless will create a situation where they cannot back out. So let's go back to our Gemara. Ketzad, what is done? Kosev lo, ani ploni ben ploni, mocharti soda ploinis leploni, belev zuz, venosan li mehem osayem zuz. I, so-and-so, sold a particular field for 1,000 zuz, and he gave to me 200 of them. And I am collecting, I have a debt to collect from him of another, of the balance of 800 zuz. Kona, the deal is clinched. Umachsir loy esashar, a few lacher kamashonim, and the balance is to be paid up even after a number of years. There's a Rashi, Vare ani noishe boy. The Rashi we're looking at is a little less, it's where we left off, a little less than halfway down. The Kevon Shasom alov milve, since the balance was converted into a milva alone. Have keilu notlam vehilvam. It's as if the seller of the land received, in your mind's eye, theoretically, as if he received the money and then loaned them to the purchaser. Vekarka niknes bekesef, and a land deal is clinched with a money payment, so that as in your mind's eye, the owner of the field received all of the money that enables the deal to be clinched, and the owner then loaned 800 of those zuz to the purchaser. The Gemara, Omar Mar. Here we quote from that which we saw above. In a case where the seller backs out. We described a field sold for 1,000 zuz. 200 zuz was put down, was paid. If the mocher, the seller, backs out, then it said the buyer has the upper hand. He can insist either on his money back or give me a piece of land. Mehechon magbio. The arrow, of course, you can see, you can align this with what we saw above. From where, what quality land is given to the buyer when the seller backs out? Mino idis, from idis quality. The term idis, if you're a first-time listener or you're not too familiar, realize that there are three qualities of land that are generally speaking referred to in the Gemara. Idis, top quality land, very rich agricultural land. Beinonis, medium quality land. Ziburis, poor quality land. So in the source it was taught that when the mocher, the seller, backs out, buyer can insist on either his money back or a piece of land, and it says he gets idis. The thinking right now is he can seek out the best quality of land, let's say 200 zuz worth of his, the seller's, best quality land. So even if he, that means a piece of land, regardless of the actual field he agreed to buy, if from other properties, he has better quality land, he can get 200 zuz of that. The Gemara asks, what kind of ruling is that? Let this purchaser be considered no more than a creditor. After all, there's a debt that he has to collect. He has a debt of 200 zuz to collect, either in cash or in land. What is the rule that pertains to a baal chov? A baal chov, a creditor, in the scheme of land collection, utnan baal chov, dino bebeinonis. A baal chov has the right to collect from middle quality land, not top quality land. The Gemara in Gittin and found out throughout the Shas speaks about people that are victims of damage. They're called nizokin. And they collect from top quality land. Lenders of money, if the loan is not paid in cash, they collect from middle quality land. And the ksubas isha, a woman, if upon divorce, she collects her ksuba from ziburas, from cheapest, poorest quality land. But in our case, where does itis figure in? Itis is a form of land payment when it comes to people that are damaged and they want to they seek compensation. But here we're not dealing with someone that was damaged, at least that's the thinking right now. So he can't claim any more than middle quality land. The Ode, and furthermore, the Gemara goes on, Aro di Yohiv Zuzi. What about the parcel of land for which he paid? If he paid for a particular parcel of land, paid 200, he paid a fifth of the total price, he should be getting, as land compensation, a fifth of that very land that he bought. So this thinking that he collects from it is from the seller's top quality of land, wherever that might be, how does that come into play? Number one. We're not talking about the seller's top quality of land, wherever that might be, but rather, in respect to the field that he bought, it was a field worth 1,000 zuz. Within the field, there may be different sections of different qualities. He's entitled to insist on one-fifth, namely 200 zuz, a worth of the field that he bought, and choose from the richest section of that field that he bought. But not idis mean rich section, not idis of his land holdings in general, but rather, once again, just idis of that field for which he had paid 200 zuz. The case of Ziburis is a reference to the continuation of the source, namely when the if the buyer backs out, so then he collects from the if the buyer backs out, the seller can give him from the worst part of the field. Number two, Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ika Omar Afilu Tema Meidis de Nechasov. We can go back to what we originally thought. When the seller backs out, the buyer will be entitled to best quality of land held by the seller, not the best, not limited or specifically best quality of that particular land that was being purchased. But why did we not say that this idea of idis din chasav, collecting from a man's best quality of land wherever it might be, that has relevance only to someone that was damaged? Here we have a purchaser that's trying to collect a debt of 200 zuz. The Gemara answers, Staman de Zovin Ara Ba'alfa Zuzi. A person in general that is buying such a large piece of land for 1,000 zuz, how did he manage to amass such a large amount of money? He must have sold off other holdings of his. Azole Moizil Umazvin Nichose. He sells at a discount less than market value of other holdings. Rashi says he'll sell off all kinds of vessels, utensils, portables, small pieces of land, but all at a discount. V'havelei kenizak. And in that sense, he is like a person that experienced damage. In order to buy this land for 1,000 zuz, he had been subjected to this form of damage that other holdings that he had, he was only able to fetch a lesser amount, a lesser value than they're actually worth. And as such, he is viewed as a nizak, as a damaged individual, a person that suffered damage. And therefore, when the seller backs out, this purchaser is like a nizak. Utnana nizak, a nizak in Shaman Lambi. We quoted this source before, and that is that people who suffered damage, sustained damage, the value of the damage is assessed, and if it's paid, if the compensation is made in terms of land, it's from top quality land. And as we said before, not specifically the land that he attempted to buy, but from any land holding of the mocher in this case. Rav Shimon Gamliel, lo imer melamdin oison shelo yafzeru. Keitzad, koisev lo ani ploni ben ploni v'chulei. Before we go further, we glance at the side under our topic heading. Biur shitas Rav Shimon Gamliel. We're going to focus in on his approach, his din. V'mishen osan mixes domov b'knias karka. Someone who paid a partial amount for a purchase of land. Ha'im kona hakil. Does the partial payment entitle him to ownership of the entire land? Oy loy, or not? Aleph, im zakfay, hayitra b'milve. We're going to be analyzing here the balance. Was it translated into a loan base, nosnam, or do we say nosnam ketchilas piron? Afilu lo zokfen b'milveh. The partial payment that was made, does it constitute the beginning of the pay for the whole thing, even if the balance was not set up as a milveh? That will become much clearer as we go into the Gemara itself. The Gemara. Taima de kosav le hochi. The reason that there is no back out appears in the Mishnah, according to Shmuel, because he wrote what the text that we saw above in the source, namely the balance was converted into a loan. Ho lo kosav hochi lo koni, leaving room to think that if that wasn't written, then the deal for the whole land wouldn't be clinched. V'hotanya. We have a Tanaic source that would seem to indicate otherwise. Hanoisein eirovon lechavero. Person gives a deposit to his friend, v'omalo, and the purchaser says, Im ani choizer vi irvoni mocholoch. If I back out, then keep the deposit. V'halomer, the seller says, Im ani choizer vi, if I back out, echpo loch irvoncha, I will give you double the deposit, the amount that you gave me in the deposit. In other words, I'll give you back your deposit plus that same amount again as well. Double the value of your deposit. Niskaimu atanoyim divrei Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, those conditions are binding. And the Gemara inserts here Rabbi Yossi letamei domar asmachta kanya. This is Rabbi Yossi consistent with what he says elsewhere, that statements made by individuals that they are not serious about, in the sense, when we say not serious, neither one of these parties thinks that the deal isn't going to go through. But they say what they did to add a sense of confidence and security on the part of his friend. That kind of statement is called asmachta. Rabbi Yossi says that even though people will offer or make deals or conditions that they're not, serious about or don't truly anticipate their coming to be, they nevertheless are binding. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Yossi. Daya shiikne keneged ervuno. If a person put down a deposit on a purchase of a large field, and there is back out, so it's enough that he gets an amount of field that corresponds to the amount of the deposit. No, we're not talking here about doubling or forfeiting, but rather if a partial amount was paid, that is what you acquire. Omar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Bamed Vamumurim, Bizman Sha'omar Lo Ervoni Yikain. It's quite advisable to immediately refer to Rashi. Just a few lines up from here, Bamed Vamumurim, Shiyochol Lachzer Boi. Under what circumstances do we say that there is there one could back out? V'lo yitol zeila keneged Moisev, and he will get in accordance with what he paid. In other words, describing a deposit was made. Someone backs out. The result of having put the money down will get you that which you paid for, that amount that you paid for. So under what circumstances do we say that you could back out and you'll get, like Rabbi Yehuda said, keneged ervoinai? So the Rabbi Shmuel says that is when you said ervoinai yikain. We continue with the Rashi. Bizman shenosta lo b'teras ervon v'lo b'teras tchilas piron. That's when you gave the money as an eravon and not when you gave the money as the beginning, we'll say at the and not when you put the money down as a down payment. There's a difference between describing something as an eravon, we'll say it's a type of maybe security deposit, versus a down payment. So that Rav Shmuel says this idea of being able to back out and get only an amount of property corresponding to that which was paid is if you said ervone yikon. Rashi says the Omar le, and here Rashi's extremely important. He said ervone yikon yikne hakol, that the deposit I'm putting down should acquire for me everything. V'hai lo ozil gabe limkor lo kol akak v'kach, and the seller isn't discounting the field, the entire field, for that mere amount. So in a case like that, where you declared something that seems to be almost preposterous, I want my deposit to acquire for me everything. Well, we know that the field isn't being sold for that partial amount, so you can, that there is room in such a case for back out, and you get an amount corresponding to that which you put down. Avol, we go on in the Gemara. Avol mocha lo yisoda belev zuz v'nosano meyem chomesh meo zuz. If a field worth 1,000 zuz was sold, and the purchaser paid 500 zuz, kana umachsir lo yasashar fi lachar kamashanim. The deal is clinched. You get the whole field. And there's no back out. And the balance must be paid even after several years. We turn back to Rashi. Avol, nostalo b'teras chiz piron. If the, what we called before, the deposit wasn't put down as a security deposit, but it was put down as a down payment, the beginning payment for in anticipation of additional payments. Then havelu hashar milvelov, the rest is viewed as a loan, as a debt to be collected, and the result of this is kona hakarka kula, as Rashi says, the entire field is acquired. And the balance, okay, the balance must be paid back, paid up, like a debt has to be paid back, even after a while. What is the main point, though, for our discussion? You notice we've used a house marking here. It's in order to enable you to connect it to the house marking that you saw above. We also have arrows to the side of the Gemara text, so you can see more easily where this is coming from. What do we see? We see that the partial payment will clinch a deal even without writing the whole nusach, the text that Rav Shlomo Leal spoke of earlier. And here, again, this is Rav Shlomo Leal. So why would Rav Shlomo Leal before have said in order to clinch the deal, you'd have to write out that whole text? And we said zokfen alav, the milva, converting the balance into a loan, even without converting the balance into a loan, it's understood to be like a loan. The Gemara answers, lo kashya. There's no difficulty, there's no inconsistency in Rav Shlomo Leal's. Ha, de koayel v'nofek azuzi. Ha, de lo koayel v'nofek azuzi. Two different circumstances. If the seller is literally going in and out, seeking out his money, you can see that he has this unsettled attitude or composure. He is pacing back and forth or day in and day out. Where's my money? A person like that, we understand, sold only because he was under forced circumstances to find cash. We call that zuzi ansuhu. If you look in Rashi, you can see that expression. He wants the money. And as long as the money hasn't been given to him, he has no intention of that sale taking place. Therefore, if a guy like that, you've got someone that's ayel v'nofek azuzi, and you want this deal to be concretized, then you would need to, as we said before, zokfen alav milva, to write out the text, which will then lock this sale as a sale, and the balance would have to be paid. However, if the person, the seller, was not pacing back and forth for his money, even by a down payment alone being made, without the formal text written up, converting the balance into a loan, but all that happened was a down payment was made, the deal is clinched, and of course the balance has to be paid down the road, but you don't need to have the formal writing up of a document like we saw described in the source above. And what's the reason? Of course, the opposite, the contrasting circumstances, the where the person isn't so pressed for money, he's interested in making the deal for the sake of making the deal. The money, he's not so pressed for that. Therefore, the down payment that he received will clinch the deal. Clinch the deal on the whole field. The Omar Rava. We have here a triangle highlighting Memros of Rava. And you can see we have a couple of these right here. One, and a couple lines later, another one. Dioma Rava, Haiman de Zovin Midi Lechavre. Someone who sells something to his friend. Rashi, I should point out that we have a subtopic heading on the side, the Nostat Nosei, that's a subtopic heading. Ayel V'nofek Azuzi, Moichu Shekibel Mixas Tashlum, Mechazer Achri Tashlum Ayitra. Someone who is selling something, received partial payment, and he is seeking the balance. You can see that he's seeking it out. So we go back to our Gemara. Haiman de Zovin Midi de Chavre, someone who sold something to his friend, the Ka'ayel V'nofek Azuzi. and he's seeking out the money. He's seeking out full payment. Tosfos adds over here that this din will apply even if the purchaser did meshicha, even if he drew the item. But we see a seller that is seeking out the money. Lo koni, the deal is not clinched. Lo ko'ail v'nofik azuzi, if he is not pacing back and forth seeking out his money. Koni, the deal is clinched. We made reference to the Tosfos, second to last Tosfos. Let's read it inside. Ail v'nofik azuzi lo koni, nira de'airi afilu mosha hamekach, even under circumstances that the purchaser drew the item, im lo piresh b'sha'as mechira, if he didn't specify at the time of the sale, mechira zu tehe kaina chefet, meshicha zu, let this drawing be the means of acquisition, v'zuzi leve halvo gaboy, and the purchase price that I owe is like a loan that I need to pay up. You know, if that is not specified, the fact that in terms of motions you did a drawing, that would not clinch the deal if you're dealing with someone that's Ayel Venofik Azuzi. We continue back in the Gemara. The Omar Rava, Haiman de Oisve Mea Zuzi Lechavre, someone who loaned 100 Zuz to his friend, Upare Zuzo Zuzo, and the payback was one by one, one Zuz by one Zuz. Piron Havi, he is considered as fulfilling his obligation of paying up the debt. El Disle Tarumas Gabe. However, the lender can have ill feelings toward that. The Omarle, the lender can say, Afse Disinu Minoi, you've, figuratively speaking, you've caused me a loss of the money. I think that you can understand this by, we'll say, the reality of daily living. If you loaned $100 and you get back $100, you don't easily spend. You put it away, you put it in the bank or whatever. You loaned $100 and you're getting paid back a dollar a day, so each day you get back a dollar. Very likely you'll take the dollar and spend it immediately. At the end of the period of time, you're left with nothing because you've spent it along the way. Of course you spent it, you got something, got pleasure, whatever, but nothing significant is left at the end of the time. And that's what he means when he says, Afsi desinu mino, you caused me a loss of that money. Hahu gavro, we continue in the Gemara, gavro dezovin le chamer lechavre, uposh le chad zuza. Someone sold a donkey to his friend. The purchaser paid almost all of the money. One zuz was left unpaid. The koayav enofik azuz, and the seller was seeking out even that last zuz. Yosef Ravashi v'kamayin bo. Ravashi was looking into this case. Ki ai gav namai, koni olo koni. In a case like this where there was only one zuz outstanding, is the deal clinched or no? Could the seller back out? Amalei Rav Mordechai l'Ravashi, Hochi Amar Avimi me'agronya mishmei d'Rava. So Rav Mordechai informs Ravashi that Avimi from Hegronya said in the name of Rava, Zuza, kezuzi dami velokoni. Zuza is a zuz in the singular, kezuzi, like zuz in the plural, in the plural form. And therefore, just like if many zuz were outstanding, the deal would not be clinched because he was ayel v'nofik azuzi. So too, if one zuz is still left outstanding, the deal is not clinched. And when we speak about deals not clinched, that means one could back out, and it would be a legitimate backing out. Omar le Rav Acha Breid Rav Yosef the Ravashi, v'ho amrinon mishmei d'rova koni. But it's been said in the name of the same Rava, that if there's a one Zuz that's outstanding, the deal is clinched. So how can you say that if there's a Zuz that's outstanding, the deal is not clinched? Omalei, Tetagem Shmaitzech, B'moiches Sadeu. We continue at the top of Daf Ayin Chesom Aleph, Mipnei Rosa. A case of someone who sold a piece of land that's undesirable. A piece of land that the owner of which is only too happy to have found someone that's willing to buy it. In a case like that, where there's outstanding money, we're certain that the deal is clinched. You'll ask, well, what's he eye of enough at Gazuzi for? So Rashi explains that he's pacing back and forth for the money is not because he's so interested in the money per se, but he's concerned that the purchaser doesn't back out. He wants to make sure that he gets the full sum before the purchaser backs out, being that it's a poor quality, bad piece of land, and as we said, in a case like that, the eye of Anofik Azuzi isn't a function of his lack of willingness to sell the land. After all, he sold it Mipnei Rasa. He was only too happy to have it sold, and his pacing for the money was, as Rashi explains here at the top of Daf Ayin Ches, so that the purchaser won't back out. Pshita, actually, before we go on, there is a topic heading in the side of the Gemara. Mishahoya zakuk l'schum katan v'lo matza kainim avur sadeu aktana v'ne'alatz limkor sade gadol. We'll describe a person that needed money, but not a large amount. He needed a small amount of money in order to access or to gain or acquire that small amount of money. He would have needed to sell off a small piece of land. He didn't have any luck in finding purchasers for the small piece of land, and therefore he sold off a large piece of land. That's by way of background. Now the Gemara. Pshita, the following is clear. Boi lizvuni b'mea. He needed to sell off a relatively small piece of land in order to get 100, say $100. Falashka, he found no customers for the small piece of land. He had another parcel of land that was larger, vizavin b'masayim. And he sold a large piece of land for 200. V'ka'ayel v'nafeg azuzi. And you can see him pacing back and forth for the money, and the purchaser is withholding the money in the meantime. Lo koni, the deal is not clinched. Rashi on the first narrow line says, "Danan lo koni danan sadi, we bear witness. Dal korchoi mochar hamoicher." This mocher he sold only under a sense of duress. V'yochol lomar, and he can claim, l'kacho yisi mechazer achar amois. You know why I was seeking out the money, meaning all 200 zuz? L'knoi sadek tana tachteo, because I wanted to buy with the balance, with the extra 100 zuz that I didn't really need, to at least buy a small piece of land to replace the large piece of land that I sold. So in a case like that, it's clear when you have an I have a Nofak Azuzi that the deal is not clinched if the buyer isn't paying to the last drop. Hello, Iboy Lizvuni Bimeo. What about the following? Person needs 100, needs to sell a piece of land worth 100. V'lo ashkach, he didn't find any purchasers immediately for the small piece of land. V'itorach avemishkach, v'lo torach. Had he troubled himself, put himself out, he would have found a customer for the 100 zuz piece of land, a small piece of land. But he didn't. He didn't extend himself or strain himself. He took the easy route. And what did he do? Vizovin b'mosayim. He sold a piece of land worth 200. Apparently there's greater demand for larger parcels of land, and he sold that easily. And we see him pacing back and forth for the money. My. Before we go further, we glance at Rashi across him here, Velo Torach. We said in this case he didn't put himself out, strain himself to find purchasers for the small piece of land. Ukshilo Torach, it was difficult for him. He opted for the easier sale of the larger piece of land for 200. Rashi goes on, Ayav Enofik Azuzi, my. He's seeking the money. How are we to view this? And do we say, Kemoichus Sodeu Mipnei Rosotomi? We'll see this shortly in the Gemara, but the Gemara is very terse. Rashi explains the fact that he's pacing back and forth for the money. Do we view this guy like the case before of selling land that was of undesirable quality? Mipnei Rosa. Kevon de Mishum Tircha, the Aduri Acha Lokech. Since this guy, because of Tircha, in seeking a purchaser for the small land, Hukla Alav Limkar Oisa Belo Dechak Mois, he was willing to sell off this nice large piece of land without pressure, without difficulty. But here's a very important word that Rashi uses, a Hukla, the word Kal. Kal indicates something insignificant. The large piece of land lost significance in his eyes. He was willing to exchange the large piece of land for comfort, for saving himself from tircha. That shows us shmamino lo chaviva hoisolov, that the land wasn't so important in his eyes. That large piece of land. And we dashed underline lo chaviva hoisolov to tie this into the idea of like the sale of land mipnei ra'asa, something, a piece of land that has not lacked significance. So now we go back to the Gemara. We describe this person who sold the large piece of land, taking the easy way out. So do we say that kemoicher sodem mipnei ra'asa dami? And we saw that the deal would be clinched even though he was ayav enough agazuzi. Although, well, we don't look at things like that. Teku, it remains unresolved. Sochar es achamor vesakador. We saw someone hired means of transportation, and we saw the Mishnah go on to speak of backing out in the middle of the job, and the Mishnah described what are you, the owner, now supposed to do? Socher alan o maton. And socher alan means you'll hire others to complete the job, and the fellow who backed out on you, he will have to compensate for that. So, ad kamo socher alan, up till how much? Up to how much can you expect them to offer compensation for the completion of the job? Rashi says, ad. Let's hold off on the Rashi. Let's go back to our Gemara. Omer of Nachman ad kidei schoron. Now we look at Rashi. Ad kidei schoron im osu etzlo ktsas hamalacha. If the original workers did part, velo kiblu klum, and you didn't pay them anything yet, so and they backed out in the middle. Socher alehem, you can hire others. Kol mashu chayav lahen, whatever the owner was obligated to pay the first workers for their partial job. That amount, Yosef l'acherim v'yigmru, you'll add that amount to whatever you're going to now have to pay for the job to get done, and that is it. We go back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Esvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava asks, you Rav Nachman are putting a cap on the amount that the owner can hold the first people responsible for, when the Mishnah said Ad Arboim V'Chamishim Zuz, that you can expect the original people who backed out on you to pay 40, 50 zuz, which is much more than Kedei Shoron. In other words, these guys that backed out, not only are they not going to get paid for what they did, but they're going to have to pay you or pay these workers that are going to finish off the job. And as we said before, that's finishing off the job could be very costly. Omar Lay, so Rav Nachman answers, Kitanya Hi, that teaching of Ad Arboim V'Chamishim Zuz, Sheboso Chavilo Liyodo. Rashi explains, Sheboso Chavilo Liyodo, Im Yesh Biyodo, if the owner has Mishalahem Harbe, he has from the original people that backed out in the middle, the owner has that which belongs to them. As is customary with people that accept a job, they bring their utensils, they bring their instruments, their machinery, or whatever. They bring that to the work site, and in the meantime, they backed out, and the owner has possession of, where it's in his domain, there, the original workers' vessels. He can use them, even though they're worth much more than the amount of work that they did up till now. He can use them to pay the workers that are needed to finish off the job, and that's okay. But if that's not the case, where the owner doesn't have additional vessels of the first guys, we said, as Rav Nachman ruled, the first workers that backed out will be subject to the loss simply of ad kedei shor, just up till the value of the work that they did, where the original owner will withhold that amount and use that to pay the workers needed to finish off the job, and the owner will have to add out of his own pocket whatever balance is necessary for the job to get done. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.